Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Prostate cancer. Just the name alone is scary. It's a very common disease, but also confusing and frightening. One way to lessen the confusion and fright is to get educated. National expert panels like the United States Preventive Services Task Force actually recommend against screening for the disease on the basis that testing for prostate cancer is more likely to harm than to help. How can that be? Well, it turns out that up to two-thirds of cases of prostate cancer may not require treatment. In fact, in a just-released study in the New England Journal of Medicine, a comparison of watchful waiting with invasive treatment for prostate cancer showed no differences in survival at 10 years. But getting even more complicated, for a subset of men, the cancer can be aggressive and metastasize to other body parts, which can ultimately be fatal. Scientists are working feverishly to find ways to differentiate between these two types of prostate cancer, one aggressive, the other not so. But for men at elevated risk of prostate cancer, it makes sense to be screened for the illness, as my two guests today will discuss. Today's show is not meant to constitute medical advice, other than recommending you consult with your doctor about the decision whether or not to screen for prostate cancer. My guests, Walter Armstrong and Mike Newman, both were at elevated risk for prostate cancer because they had relatives who had suffered from the disease. Both ultimately underwent treatment by the same physician, Dr. Mark Milston of the Urologic Specialists of Oklahoma. And as members of All Souls Unitarian Church, they realized that other men in their congregation suffered in silence, and so they decided to do something about it to try to spread the word. Tomorrow night, they'll host the second annual Prostate Cancer Awareness event at the Greenwood Cultural Center. There, a panel discussion will take place, including with the urologist. Prostate cancer survivors Walter Armstrong and Mike Newman are my guests today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Mike Newman and Walter Armstrong, welcome to the program. I'm glad to have you both with us. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for allowing us.
So the event taking place on the 20th at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center is a prostate cancer awareness event. Walter, let's start with you. What moved you to want to hold a public event like this, a public forum, to invite anyone that's interested, not just men, but especially men, I think, whom are afflicted by prostate cancer, but also their loved ones? So you're welcoming anyone to this forum.
Well, after I was diagnosed, I talked to several men. And as I talked to them, each man had it, but no one talked about it. No one informed the other man, other males, of what to do and how to do or where to go. So after I talked with some guys at my church, I decided to try to have some type of a seminar or get-together or something to inform the people. And the more I dug into it, the more I found out that men will not talk about this. This is a taboo subject to most men.
And Mike Newman, let's bring you into the conversation. So you are also a survivor of prostate cancer.
Yes.
And are part of this forum. In fact, you're going to be one of the panelists at the event, which is, I would say, is in some ways going to be headlined by a physician, Dr. Mark Milston from the Urologic Specialists of Oklahoma, who actually treated both of you gentlemen. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Mike, tell us, how were you diagnosed with prostate cancer?
I was aware of the risk. I had a grandfather who died when I was pretty young. And like most people, cancer is the scariest six-letter word in the English language. I was aware that I was at risk because it was in the family. Then later I had an uncle who died of prostate cancer, two other uncles who had it but did not pass from that. So I was very aware, and I made sure to get my PSA checked yearly. Occasionally I even had primary care said, oh, I don't think we need to do that. And I said, I think we do. I'd like to. And so I followed the marker, the levels, and was aware that if it increased like 2 points in over a year or two, that was suspicious.
Let's break it down. I mean, just because we don't want to assume everyone knows, but PSA stands for?
Prostate-specific antigen.
And that's just a blood test.
It's just a simple blood test.
Simple blood test.
Yeah.
Right. And so you got that, I guess, how many years in a row did you get that before you were had an alarm sign?
Probably 10 years.
So, okay, so you followed it for a number of years.
Yeah.
And Walter, is that the same for you?
No, not really. My brother had it 5 years before I got it.
So he had prostate cancer also?
Yes, and he had the removal. And then once I started having problems going to the bathroom, and I talked with him about it, he suggested that I go see Dr. Milston. And after I talked to Dr. Milston, we monitored it for a year.
Okay, and so you were having trouble just passing urine, basically?
Yes.
So hesitancy?
Yes.
And that can be one of the warning signs.
That is a warning sign.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I should point out that can be a warning sign for enlargement of the prostate, mm-hmm. right, or prostate cancer. So it's hard to differentiate between the two.
Right.
And so you had an elevated PSA, or you were watching with Dr. Milston, and then at some point that led him to want to do a biopsy?
Yes. We checked it for about a year. Then he did a biopsy, and he had said that it looked aggressive.
Oh, so the tissue, the cell type under the microscope looked aggressive.
Yes, and he said it'd be best to do something. And he gave me four options.
Do you remember what all of those were?
No, one was the radiation,
uh-huh.
and one was freezing it.
Okay, cryotherapy is like the medical term for that usually, freezing
okay.
it, yeah.
And the seeds.
Yeah, those seeds, is right, the term for that for listeners is brachytherapy, and that's usually radioactive seeds implanted in the prostate gland.
Right.
And that can be, it's considered less invasive than the full surgery, but in the end, you went with the full surgery, right?
I went with the robotics.
The robotic-assisted yes. prostatectomy. Did you have other parts of treatment other than the surgery, or the surgery did everything?
It did everything.
And at this point, do you monitor the PSA now that you're out of surgery and it's zero? I mean, you should have...
Yes.
Right. So without the gland, you don't have any of that antigen in your blood at all.
No, and it's been 30 months since my surgery.
30 months?
And
wow.
My PSA, which was like 8, is now down to 006.
006. So there's, okay, a tiny
yes.
trace, and that's essentially negligible. But you still have to monitor it just
right.
in case.
For 5 years.
Right. So if, I should tell listeners, is if prostate cancer, if it had spread beyond the gland, there's always the possibility that it could recur or have metastasized into another part of your body, which is why it is important after you've been treated to monitor post-treatment.
Yes.
So, Walter, you touched on something that was really interesting at the outset of this, which was that you noticed that you had several colleagues, friends perhaps, or church members who also had either been diagnosed with prostate cancer or who had just had curiosity about how to even get tested, and that there wasn't really good information out there and that nobody really talks about it. So that's what led you to want to sponsor this type of public forum. Mike, have you noticed the same thing?
Yes. In my case, I was very open about it after I had the surgery, and I sort of had the reverse thing happen. I had several men friends from church who came to me kind of quietly and very concerned, of course, and what did I know about it, and they had been diagnosed or suspected it or something, and so... They wanted to talk to me about it, but they weren't advertising it at all. And, of course, quite naturally, were very concerned and a little afraid. So I talked to them all and urged them to follow up, get checked. And so I just felt that was a good sign. I also felt like there probably were handfuls of people, older men in our church, who had been through this, and nobody knew that. And I thought, so when Walter mentioned it to me, I jumped at it. I said, you know, we could probably get a gathering of 40 people at this church who've had some experience, but nobody knows.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. And I'm talking today with Mike Newman and Walter Armstrong, who are both survivors of prostate cancer, who are the forces behind a prostate cancer awareness event that is going to take place tomorrow, September 20th at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center. And that event is free and open to the public. And it's going to start and take the form of a panel discussion. I mentioned Dr. Mark Milston of the Urologic Specialist of Oklahoma, who is the physician who treated both of you, will be there. But other members of the panel include Marlon Lavenhar, who is well known in the community, a senior minister at All Souls Church, which is the church that both of you gentlemen attend, someone named Mike Rubel, and then representing the women's perspective on being with a loved one with prostate cancer, Josie Rosenthal Goodman. And then, Mike, you're also going to be on the panel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things? So let's, I guess, spend a moment talking about, we can imagine what Dr. Milston's going to talk about as the physician who does the treatment and advocacy. But what do you think, and not to put you too much on the spot, what do you think Josie is going to talk about from the women's perspective?
She dealt with it through her husband's experiences and knows quite a bit about it, was involved in last year's thing. We just felt it was very important to have a woman's perspective on there because, as we've said, any male over 50 ought to be interested in this information, and any female who has a significant other male should go too, because I think the woman, the mother, the wife, sister, daughter, whatever, is interested in the welfare of someone in their family ought to encourage and urge them to be aware. So Josie will be an important player in this. We focused originally on women as well as men in general, but also African-American men, because as Walter pointed out, the incidence was much, much higher, and they were even less likely to want to talk about it.
Has that been your experience, Walter? That, I mean, particularly African-American men are less likely to talk about it? Or I guess comparing notes, it sounds like, Mike, at least people were willing to come up to you and talk. Is that because you were open about the fact that you had a diagnosis, so people at least sought your advice? But, Walter, it sounds like people sought your advice as well.
Well, they did. But in the African-American men, 60% of all African-American men will be diagnosed with some type of prostate problems. And that's an alarming rate. That's 6 out of 10. And last year, 379,000 men died. No, were diagnosed with prostate cancer, I'm sorry. And 27,000 of them men died. And that's a lot to lose when, if you go and get it checked early, it'll be basically an inconvenience. But if you wait too late, it'll be life-changing.
What do you think are the reasons for men not wanting to discuss this, or what the secrecy, the shroud? And I mean, kudos to you guys for trying to raise public awareness about this and to try to essentially encourage people to talk about or ask questions that they have. Walter, what do you think it is that makes people keep this a secret?
Well, most men, we got this testosterone thing going, and we don't want anyone to think that we're not the world's greatest man, the one that all the women want to love, and we're the best lovers. And we don't want them to know that, no one to know that we're inadequate, that we do have faults, or that we do fall short. So if we, by opening this up and letting men know that it's not the end of the line, it's just the beginning of a new line.
Well, it's an interesting point. So is it the vulnerability, like sort of the fact that men, you know, can have this perceived weakness, or is it specifically around like how prostate can impact sexuality, or is it both?
It does impact sexuality. And in the end, there's so many remedies out there now that can fix whatever problem you'll have. Everything from pills to injections to insertions. There's all types of things. So it doesn't affect men like it did 40 years ago.
And I believe it is both. I think there is a natural tendency in men, American men of the West, to feel independent and strong and able to handle anything, virile. Testosterone's a problem both ways, as you as a physician know, causing prostate cancer. So there's a vulnerability thing, and rightly or wrongly, I think part of that macho tendency is associated with our virility and therefore sexuality. And therefore, if that's threatened in any way, it just makes it double hard.
Probably. So I want to clarify something. So testosterone isn't thought in and of itself to cause prostate cancer. We should point that out because, of course, you know, everyone, males and females, have testosterone. But it is known to be a sort of a promoter. Once prostate cancer is present, the presence of testosterone can promote prostate cancer or cause it to spread, which is why one of the treatments can be, well, for example, either blocking the testosterone to its active form. So there are certain kind of medications that do that, or in some extreme cases, actual removal of the testicles. But that's not a treatment that's used very often anymore because there are much less aggressive treatments that are used that can treat prostate cancer. And so you guys touched on it. So erectile dysfunction can be one of the consequences of really all the types of prostate cancer treatment that are out there, whether it's the surgery or external beam radiation. Although there is this newer treatment, proton beam therapy, which I don't think we're really poised to talk about here today since it sounds like neither of you had that kind of treatment. But so, and then the other issue is incontinence, is urinary leakage, which is another thing that people in general don't want to talk about, but can happen a lot to men who've had treatment for prostate cancer. And I guess, what would you say about that? Is that something that has treatment for that has improved, or that the likelihood of having incontinence or urinary leakage is less so nowadays with sort of the more modern treatments?
The things that I was that I understood, which were true in my case, was that this kind of surgery through a surgery.
Robotic-assisted surgery,
which,
right.
Which is called nerve-saving.
Nerve-sparing, nerve-saving.
Sparing, uh-huh. Yes. And so if the nerves are completely saved, often the incontinence last not long at all. My case, about a month. And that depending on a number of factors, I think health and so forth and so on, even the erectile dysfunction can come back to some extent if the nerves are in good shape. And if not, as Walter said, there are other modalities that people would rather not do but absolutely are effective and work.
What are you guys, in your experiences, what have you found are men's biggest reluctance to at least get screened for prostate cancer? I mean, at the very outset, is that, do you find that people say, oh, I don't want to do that because there's this sort of perceived unawareness of the downstream consequences, but it's that even the screening tests, which are, we mentioned the blood test, the prostate-specific antigen, but there's also where a doctor on a physical exam will do what's called a digital rectal examination, where a doctor will put a gloved finger in your bottom and try to feel the prostate gland. And so for men who know about that, they're typically reluctant to undergo it. Although I would say that, like, from the military experience or things like that, people sort of accept it as an unpleasant but necessary part of a physical exam. Is that something you find in your conversations with community members?
Yes. The younger men, they're utterly opposed to it. They do not want it. And for that reason, they stay away from it. And some doctors are not sending the guys to urologists. The medical doctors would just check it themselves. And Dr. Milson said that some doctors don't know what it feels like, what it feels when what's wrong when it's scratchy, or what's wrong when it's smooth, or the size, how many centimeters it's supposed to be. There's a lot of other things that go with it that only a urologist that deals with it daily will know.
So the experience level of the physician obviously is very important. So a urologist who sees, obviously, you know, dozens if not hundreds of cases of prostate cancer is going to be much more familiar. I think that's a good point. And we know that in medicine. I mean, the evidence bears that out, that when a particular type of doctor does a specific procedure, for example, if you think of a surgeon doing expressly doing thyroid glands or just doing heart surgery, those are the what are called high volume centers that tend to have much better outcomes. So that does stand to reason. You mentioned that you had a community awareness event like this last year. So this would be the second annual event?
Yes.
You know? Okay. And this is something I guess you hope to put on every year then?
Hopefully we can do it each year and maybe add something, like next year, maybe have a luncheon or something, and the year after maybe try to start a 5K run or a 1K walk or something, just to get people involved. Once you get them, then you can feed them. You can't feed them till you get them. We want to feed them this information.
Right. Well, feed them information. I like that. But so it's worth pointing out, this is not underwritten. This is really a grassroots community event, right?
Yes.
And you have some folks helping you publicize the event. But really, and you're not even trying to raise money. You're really just trying to raise awareness at this point.
Awareness is our main goal.
Okay, and again, it's the second annual prostate cancer awareness event. It's going to be held tomorrow night, September 20th at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center. And there will be information for you or your loved ones about prostate cancer, about its incidence, its prevalence, the treatments for it, and how to screen for it. Walter, you mentioned 30 months ago was when you were treated.
When I had my surgery.
When you had
yes.
your surgery. And so, I guess, can you share with us what your prognosis is now? I mean,
prognosis is very good.
It's excellent, right? I mean, you're going to live, you're not going to die from prostate cancer.
No.
You may die
from
something else.
I'm cancer-free.
Cancer-free. Love
yes.
hearing that. Love hearing that. Okay. And what about you, for you, Mike? Is that also the case?
It's been 3 years and zeros coming up, which is always beautiful to see. So I'm very happy and glad I made the decision. Earlier I mentioned when mine was first discovered, it was the kind that's considered low risk. There were a number of, I think, misconceptions about it. Some of the words that I'd heard was, you don't need to worry about it. Eventually something else will kill you, and then you don't even need to have it checked. The PSA, in some cases, people overreact to it, and it can be a false positive, and there are reasons not to do it. And since I had a family history, I said, I want to do it. And I think that's one reason that it was caught very early, because I had a slight increase in the PSA moving up. And I said, what about a biopsy? And my primary care physician sent me to Mark Milton, who I've known since he was very young. He did the biopsy, and it was positive. And I had the initial reaction most people were. I was terrified, found out more about it, read about it, and one of the designators was fairly low. And one of the options we discussed was actually called watch and wait. It was low enough that we could check the PSA frequently, see if it elevated any more. And after a couple of years, did another biopsy, and there had been a little cellular change. He gave me a number of options. I elected to have the complete prostatectomy. And I'm still here and healthy and glad to be so.
And we'll still be here for a long time to come. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guests today are Walter Armstrong and Mike Newman, who are the main grassroots forces behind tomorrow night's prostate cancer awareness event, which will take place at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center. Both men are very open about the fact that they are prostate cancer survivors. Both underwent prostatectomies within really the last 3 years and have lived to tell about it, and actually very open about it, and in my view are to be applauded for being so open and trying to be conduits of further information to the community. I wanted to highlight something that you were just saying, Mike, in fact, about the differences in your treatment. Walter, you, as an African-American gentleman, you had a family history, but you also mentioned the fact, which is known to be true through my medical training, that prostate cancer and prostate disease in general is more common in the African-American community for reasons we don't really know, but we just know that it is more common. So your biopsy, when you were first sent for evaluation and treatment, showed an aggressive type of tumor. So you really underwent treatment right away, whereas, Mike, your biopsy showed a less aggressive type of tumor, which led you on this watchful waiting path for a couple of years, and then you were re-biopsied and then decided to undergo treatment. So right there is sort of a stark difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But again, Mike, I should point out to you or remind our listeners that you mentioned that you had a strong positive family history as well, which is what made you ever more vigilant about
yes.
it. The watchful waiting is something that is, I think, a sort of a thorny issue because
yeah.
you mentioned cancer being that very difficult six-letter word. And when you hear you have cancer, well, the natural reaction is like, get it out of me or let's do something about it. So the idea that you would just do nothing about it is counterintuitive, to say the least. So, I mean, how did you – you just said you did your own research and reading, but what led you to think that that might be okay?
Part of it is what you said. I did research and reading. I found a very good book about it. I talked to Mark Milston a number of times. I had a great deal of faith and trust in him. And I said, so how do we watch and wait? He said, in your case, we'll do PSAs every 6 months and see what it does. And it was pretty steady. And like you said, initially, that's all I could think about. I couldn't get it off my mind. And then fairly quickly, I just accepted that this was a situation. It was here, but it wasn't – it didn't have to be fatal. And
one thing I'm curious about, you said when at the outset you were essentially screening for prostate cancer because of your family history. But when you found out you had low-grade or non-aggressive type cancer, did you at that point have any symptoms or were you still having
no. –
there were no symptoms ever. It was just something you had and had to live with.
I think that's important to know because a lot of people will say, well, I had no symptoms. I had no symptoms, absolutely none ever, which was all the more reason I felt like I needed to get the PSA test, the blood test, because I had no symptoms. And even when it rose, I still had no symptoms.
And so when you went back a couple of years later, it sounds like the PSA value went up, and so that –
yes.
Necessitated another biopsy, and at that point the pathology changed a little bit and seemed more aggressive. So that's okay. Is that and that's how you want it?
Yes, the PSA had risen a little, not overly significantly, but enough that. And I asked lots of questions. That's one of the things I asked Mark. What does that mean? And so forth. And I said, I think I'd like another biopsy, and he said, absolutely. And this time the pathologist's report showed some change, not radical, but enough that I said, debated about 2 days what the options were, and I said, get it out.
Okay. And how much – were either of you gentlemen in the hospital for a very long time after your surgery?
One day.
Went home the very next day.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to ask, too, is that you guys both are – you're members of All Souls Church. And is that where you met?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then you're having Marlon Lavenhar either moderate this panel or be part of the event tomorrow night, who is the senior minister at All Souls Church. But is how much, I guess, what role does faith play in your diagnosis or your treatment or in your recovery?
Well, faith plays a role in just about anything you do. You have to have faith in order to do something. Faith is like hope, and hope is the expectation of good. So you want, when someone tells you you have cancer in your body, you feel like you've been invaded, and you want this thing out of you. And the best way to get it out is to find the right person and to get it done, like you said earlier, before it metastasizes. Once it metastasizes, it changes your life because it may come out and go into your testicles, your lungs, your bones. Then you have a whole nother issue. So I think that's the most important thing.
And of the folks in your support group, is it mostly out of All Souls Church, or is it it's people outside of the church community that are Tulsans as well?
Right now, it's about it's six of us, four of us from the church.
Okay, so about two-thirds church, one-third just out of members of the community. And so and this event you're putting on, is it'll be tomorrow night at the Greenwood Cultural Center, and it'll be a panel. As we said, it'll feature Dr. Mark Milston, who is the urologist who treated both of you, did your surgeries and carried you along through treatment and biopsies. Marlon Lavenhar, who is the senior minister at All Souls Church, Mike Rubel, Josie Rosenthal Goodman, and, of course, Mike Newman, you're going to be on the panel as well. But both of you have been very open and I think really should be applauded for your candor in talking about something that's very difficult and I think really hard, for, as you pointed out, and one of your main motivations for holding this event is that there is such reluctance on the part of men to talk about this.
Yes, and since it is definitely curable when caught early, it's a shame if it's not. And people who would be reluctant and wait until it's too long, I've had two friends die because they waited too long and it had spread to a point that it could no longer be successfully treated. And just as women early on in the breast cancer awareness, it was initially kind of taboo or people were reluctant to talk about it. And now everyone knows we even paint fire trucks pink for awareness. So.
Yeah, and we see pink ribbons everywhere. Yeah. And right, so the advocacy for that is really taken off.
Yeah. Men need the same and maybe more because they're less facile at talking to each other as women do.
Do you think, I mean, this sounds kind of weird and counterintuitive too, but do you think the fact that having had prostate cancer makes both of you more open to talk about other things, that makes you more able to talk about other topics as well? Share vulnerability, as it were?
Yes, I think it does.
Mm. Certainly in my case it does. Because you are vulnerable in that case.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both very much for joining us today.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you, John, for having us.
Sure. Thank you. We appreciate you.
So the event is the second annual Prostate Cancer Awareness Event. It'll take place tomorrow night, September 20th at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center. And if you want more information about the event, you can call 918-231-6891. Walter Armstrong and Mike Newman are both prostate cancer survivors and co-hosting the Prostate Cancer Awareness Event tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Greenwood Cultural Center. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.